There. All right. So I am Scott Adams. I am an intern for History 580 for the, I even forgot, Journal of the
Plague Year.
That's right. Yeah, my brain is mush. So we'll go ahead and get started. I'll first ask you the background questions and then we'll go on from there. Okay. What is the date and time?
Today is the 11th of October and it is 12:26 p.m.
All right. What is your name and what are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis?
My name is Ashley Pierce. I work for the sheriff's office. I'm a detention officer, so most of the week I do that during the day. And then in a normal year, in my time off, I would go like day trips, travel, hang out with family. But this year, mostly just hanging out at home, visiting via digital means and whatnot. Yeah, not a whole lot going on this year, unfortunately.
And where do you live and what is it like to live there?
I live in Avondale, Arizona. It's hot. Hot weather, hot and dry. But it's not too bad. It's a nice neighborhood where I live. My parents were in the military, so we lived all over. So this isn't too bad. Wish the temperature would come down a little bit, but overall, not a bad place to live, I guess.
When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it, and how have your thoughts changed since then?
Well, let's see. I think the first time I remember hearing about it was on the news when it had just started in China, and it had just started hitting like the East Coast and a little bit in like California along the northern part there. I'm like, oh man, I hope it doesn't come here. You know, like, ugh, just one more thing. Because at the beginning of the year, there was all that other, like Australia was on fire. And then there was all this other stuff going on. I'm like, just what we need, one more thing. And it was just mostly just like, oh, I hope we don't have that here.
Right. What issues have most concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic?
I would say the thing that kind of concerning me is just the way the information about it has spread. Like you've got two main camps have sort of emerged. There's those who it's not a big deal, it's a hoax, they're tricking you, the sheeple want you to believe that it's a thing. And then there's those other people on the other side, like it's very dangerous, it's wear your mask, social distance, it's very important. And it's just kind of concerning how, at least for those two groups, there's like no room in between. It's either you're all the way on this side or you're all the way on this side. And as we know in life, nothing is ever really one or the other. So it's kind of just concerning how, even though you have all this information out there, they're not really taking that into account if it doesn't fit the block that they're in. And it kind of is concerning because everybody else who haven't really picked a camp, I guess, so to speak, it's kind of hard to get accurate information because depending on which side you're listening to at that moment, there's like no middle ground there. So for me, it's just the lack of reliable information, I guess, because you can't really tell sometimes what is and what isn't about it.
So moving on to employment, has COVID-19 affected your job and in what ways?
Oh, geez. Well, yes, it has. I work in the county jail. So, I mean, all the time anyway, we were always, you know, like wearing gloves and sanitizing because they're not the cleanest places anyway. But when it really started hitting Arizona, so to speak, we pretty much had to, all of our procedures and processes that we had, we'd basically throw those right out the window and start fresh. Because of the nature of the job, there's really no way to completely 100% of the time socially distance. I mean, you have to bring people in, you have to be able to search those people, you have to be able to, you know, get them to court and move them from housing unit to housing unit. So there's really no way to like avoid that. So basically what we're doing now at work is I have, our uniform pants have these little pockets, like cargo pockets on the side. And basically at the start of my shift, one pocket gets full of gloves and a couple extra masks. And the other side is little tiny bottles of sanitizer. And just all day, just whoever needs sanitize, gloves. So basically it just kind of, we basically had to start over from scratch and all of our procedures, because we already had some protocols for like when we have chicken pox and lice and those sort of things, but COVID is a whole different monster. So basically we took those protocols and just, I don't know, strengthened them, I guess you could say, and got a lot more strict about it. So it definitely, definitely has affected the way we operate at work.
And has it changed your employment status or in any other way?
Not really. I guess I could say like my line of work is one that will never go out of business. working for the sheriff's office, you're always going to have people who are being arrested. You're always going to need a place to house those people while they're waiting for their court dates. So I guess in that way, I could say I guess I'm kind of luckier than most, because I didn't have to worry about, you know, like I can't work from home. There's no, there's no phoning it in. So I guess my line of work is one of those that just, we managed to dodge the bullet, I guess.
And so what concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment and the economy more broadly?
Well, I guess for, as far as my employment, pretty much I'm the same, you know, day in, day out business as usual. But as far as like the economy, we've had, you know, a lot of people have lost their jobs, and it's kind of like a snowball effect. Like all those people now have no job, no income coming in. So they're staying at home more, which means they're not out spending, which means, you know, more businesses have less money. So overall, I guess I'm concerned about the economy just like slowing down to a halt, because we're all connected together, whether we want to agree or acknowledge that or not. So the longer that people are staying out of work, the more businesses go under, which means there's nowhere to employ those people, and it's just kind of a snowball effect, I guess.
And has it affected the employment of people you know?
Actually, yeah, I do have a couple of friends who worked in different, a couple worked in retail, one worked in the real estate industry, and they were both, these two in particular were both laid off. So they're actually currently looking for jobs right now, but because people are still staying at home and not going out and spending and kind of stimulating the economy, there's not really a lot of hiring, at least in the fields that they're qualified for. So that's kind of a bummer for them. I've been trying to help them out. Like, you know, when I see a job posting that might work for them, I'll always make sure to shoot them an email.
And moving forward to family and household, how has COVID-19 affected you and or your family's day-to-day activities?
Well, basically we're not doing as many in-person like Sunday dinners anymore, because my mom also works in the same, she works for the sheriff's office as well. So we both kind of try to keep our distance from family members, because we know where we work, we have a higher likelihood of in germ areas. So when I get home, I don't even, like my laundry room is right off my garage. So when I come in, my first stop when I get home is into the garage. I change, I leave my uniform and everything in there, so I don't bring it into the house with me. And she kind of does the same thing, but basically before any interaction, when we come home from work, it's just like, stop, wait, I have to change first. I have to decontaminate, if you will. We don't really do a lot of get-togethers. We used to do like day trips on the weekend. We're like, oh, let's go to Flagstaff this weekend and just see what we can get into. Well, we haven't really been able to do that so much, and I miss it.
Right. And how are you managing day-to-day activities in your household?
Well, basically, it's just a lot more. There's a lot more together time at home, so it's just kind of like, because you're used to, you know, having like your alone time, because so and so would be out doing this, and then I would go out and do that. But well, now we're all at home, so it's kind of just like figuring out a new schedule so that we don't get on each other's nerves as much, because, you know, we're family and I love you, but could you just, you breathe so loud, could you not for just 5 minutes? So really, it's just kind of like maybe relearning how to get along with it, everybody, because there's just so much together time now.
And has the COVID-19 outbreak affected how you associate and communicate with friends and family, and in what ways?
A little bit. We do a lot more phone calls and emails now than we used to. And then on those few occasions when we do get together for an event or something, it's a lot less of the, hey, it's been a while, hugs, and no more kiss on the cheeks from Aunt Sue. You know, everybody's kind of like from a distance. So it kind of, you know, you don't really realize how important those little things are until you don't really notice how much you enjoyed Aunt Sue coming over and giving you a pinch on the cheek until they don't do it anymore. So in that way, I guess it's a lot changed. We're a lot more standoffish, if you will, not because we don't like each other, but because you may have the Rona and not notice.
Right. And what have been the biggest challenges that you faced during the COVID-19 outbreak?
For me, I'm really like a people person. I like to go out and I like to visit and hang out with people and go and do things. So really just kind of learning how to do that from a distance is kind of hard, because I'm always like, hey, let's go and do this, let's go and do that. And everybody looks at me like, really? Like, I know, it's a force of habit. I can't help it. So for me, it's just kind of like having to learn how to be a little more introverted, I guess, because I've always been like the outgoing, hey, let's go and do this, let's go to the park, let's do this and that, and that's not really an option anymore right now, and that's a bummer.
And what have you, your family, and friends done for recreation during COVID-19?
We do, or at least my sisters and I, will do like a not really a Zoom movie night, but we'll like FaceTime, and we'll have a movie on in the background, so we're kind of like watching a movie together, but not. We'll do lunch that way too. Like, I'll go and I'll make, we'll agree to have like fried chicken that day. So we'll both make fried chicken and we'll have our little iPads set up on the table. So like, I can see her on my little iPad screen and she can see me on hers, and we'll do like iPad dinner. We'll do like board games. Like, we'll take a picture of the board and send it, like, your move. And then they'll move their piece and send a picture back. It's not nearly as much fun to school your sister at Monopoly when, mm-hmm, you know, they're across town, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. And so, shifting from family to community, how has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community?
Well, a lot more standoffishness, you know, like we can't get together as much. And then Arizona is kind of, we're kind of in those group of people who just, we don't like to be told what to do. And people just don't really want to, I mean, no one likes wearing the masks all day at work. I have to wear it for like 8.5 hours every day. It's a bummer, but I do it because I know even though I might not get sick, someone else might. But Arizona is kind of the opinion, like, we're in the Wild West and you're not going to tell me what to do. And we've got the people who just will not wear the mask. So I guess in that aspect, we've got kind of some conflict going on between those two camps again, like the this is a real thing, you need to be careful about it, and then the don't tell me what to do, if I want to not wear a mask, I won't. Like, even so much as down our street, we've got the neighbors who give each other side eye because they walk out of their house with no mask on. I'm like, he's 12 feet from you and he's the only one standing there in the driveway, like, relax.
And how are people around you responding to the pandemic?
Well, at work, we're all taking it very seriously because we actually had three officers at the sheriff's office who passed away from COVID. So we were always, we're in the group, the take it seriously group. I mean, we work in a place that's not really all that clean anyway. So we were already kind of used to having to wear gloves all the time. And when you're going into an area where there might be some sort of germs or possible infection, we already had the masks and we have like the little face shields and things. So it, for us at work, it was kind of like, okay, just one more layer. You know, you have to wear it all day instead of just when you go into these areas. So I guess in a work sense, it's kind of been like business as usual. But in like my not work life, sometimes I've driven all the way to the grocery store. I get all the way up to the door. And even though I know all year has been mask up, I get to the door. I'm like, oh, man, I have to go all the way back to the car and get my mask. So even for me, like, even though I know how serious it is and that I need to do it, it still hasn't really, the habit has not formed yet. So, and then I get the little side eye, the little old ladies, and the, I'm like, I know I'm going. I'm like, I made sure not to walk near anybody on the way back. So at least in that, I would say it's a work in progress.
And have you seen the people around you change their opinions, day-to-day activities or relationships in response to the pandemic?
Somewhat. Like, again, I go to work and I come home. At least at work, there were a few who's like the younger, like, I hate to, you know, point them out, and I'm not saying everyone's like this, but like the younger officers there kind of like, really, this is not such a big deal. I'm like, for you. But a lot of people who might have it, they don't show any symptoms. So you're kind of like the Typhoid Mary of the group. Just because it's not bothering you doesn't mean it won't bother them. So at least kind of seeing, once we had the first one or two officers pass away from it, it kind of like their light bulb moment. They're like, oh, this is really a big, this is a big deal. And, you know, I then started seeing them with the gloves in the pocket and the masks, you know, so I'm like, oh, I'm like, it's kind of a bummer that that's what it took to get through to you. But I do see a lot more people, the longer it goes, they're kind of realizing, like, it may not be the absolute end of the world, like some people think, but it is something that needs to be taken very seriously. So I have seen a shift, slow and begrudgingly, occur, as you will. So a little bit, yeah.
And self-isolation and flattening the curve have been two key ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. Have you, your family, friends, community responded to requests of, to self-isolate and flatten the curve?
We did, because we have some family members who are immunocompromised. So they're a little bit more in that category, need to be safe. So we were extra cautious about, do we really need to go to the grocery store today? Or can we make, we've got food in the kitchen, or are we just wanting to get out of the house, that sort of thing. But again, where we work, we didn't have the option to work from home. So we still had to go straight to work and come home, but we made sure to like separate those trips. Like, don't stop at the grocery store on your way home, because you were just at work all day in the jail, you know, you need to go home and change just in case. So I think we have, or at least for my family and close friends, we have really made an effort to kind of keep our distance. I have a one set of friends who live up in Anthem. I haven't seen them since January in person, but they have a newborn and they have a little guy. So we definitely want to make sure to keep, you know, distance from him because he's so little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which kind of falls into the next question. Has COVID-19 changed your relationships with family, friends, and community, and in what ways?
A lot less in person, but we still find a way to make it work, like a lot more phone calls, emails. We have these little, like on Facebook, we'll send each other random memes of like favorite movies that we watch, and that'll just be it. And we've kind of developed like an extra language. Like, we can hold entire conversations in movie quotes, not having said an actual word between us. But it's just like, we know what we're saying. And then if anybody else were to look at our pages, they're like, what's with these crazy people sending all these random pictures? But for us, it makes sense. So in that way, we've kind of developed our own extra language, I guess you could say, just to fill in the time that we would normally have spent annoying each other in person.
So moving on to health, have you or anybody you know gotten sick during the COVID-19 outbreak?
Thankfully, no one in my family, knocking on wood right now, has gotten sick with it. But like I said earlier, we had a couple of employees at the sheriff's office actually pass away from it. And we have had a lot of officers who've gotten sick and have thankfully recovered from it. But we have, we have to report any flu-like or COVID-like symptoms to our supervisors. So even if we haven't really officially been diagnosed yet, even if we have symptoms, we're told to stay home and go to the doctor and get checked. We get free testing set up at our medical clinic, so we can go and get tested every so often just to make sure we stay safe. But we have had, I don't know the exact number, but maybe 30, 40 officers that I can think of in the last, well, since like March is when they started, I think, actually like keeping track and sending out notices every so often. So we've had quite a few at work come down with it.
Mm-hmm. And in what ways do you think that COVID-19 is affecting people's mental and or physical health?
Well, mostly I think it's, it affects both, but I think mostly like it's the mental aspect that I think most people are struggling with. Like people in general, we're social creatures. We like to be around people. We like to have contact with other people. And then when all of a sudden that's taken away, that really weighs on you. Some people, they don't like being alone. They need company. They need like the background noise. They need not necessarily to be actively engaged in conversation all the time, but just knowing that other person is like right there. So I know, and having to stay inside all the time, like lack of fresh air for some people, a lot of people, like they might live in an apartment. There's no nearby like park where they can go and distance, but still be outside. So I know that is affecting people. And then a lot more people are staying inside, you know, couch surfing because all the gyms are closed, or if they've reopened, they're not sure it's safe. They don't want to be around a group of people. People have been waiting for them to open. You know, you go back and there's a big rush of people. So some people are staying back. I think it's definitely affecting both of those.
And like, as far as like information, what are your sources of news during this pandemic?
Well, that's kind of hard to say because you media is the enemy for sure. Because you can have one story and then you look three different news channels and they have absolutely completely different take on that one situation. So it's kind of hard to say. Like I actively avoid Facebook news because let's be honest, Facebook is the last place you want to look for reliable news. But I do try to watch like at least one of the local news channels like Fox 10 or CBS or whatever. And then every now and again, I'll flip through and like see what CNN has to say. But again, you have to take like everything with a grain of salt because whether they want to or not, everything has become like a political issue, whether it has nothing to do with politics or not. So depending on which side that channel happens to be on will completely change the whole piece of news you're trying to get. So I try to, like, I don't get newspapers or anything. I don't know if anybody actually has newspapers delivered anymore, but I try to stick to like the more reputable big name, so to speak, but also kind of like weigh it with what I also know on my own. So it's kind of hard to get good news lately.
And have your news sources changed during the course of the pandemic?
Not so much, because I was always one to check out the evening news every night when I, you know, while I'm making dinner, I'll have it on in the background. I always knew that Facebook is a terrible place to get reliable information, so I never really considered that a good go-to. Basically, any social media, I kind of just, it's there for fun, but not for information, as far as I'm concerned. So basically, the same places, but I don't watch as much, because, you know, it's depressing. If it's not one thing, it's another. When it rains, it pours. So I know it's not really that the sources change, but I do watch less of it. I'm like, you know, enough is enough. If I hear COVID-19 one more time, my head's gonna explode. So I kind of smaller doses, I guess.
And what do you think are important issues that the media may or is not covering?
Well, I know there's more to life than just the Black Lives Matter movement and COVID-19. Both of those are very important things to be aware of and be informed on, but there's got to be other things going on. Earlier this year, I saw an article, I think it was back in July. It was a timeline of things you may have missed. All of the things that didn't make the headlines. I think earlier in like March, NASA, one of the space flights had a woman in space for like 380 something days. And that was the longest a female had ever spent in space ever. And I really don't recall ever having heard that on the news. I mean, that's cool. That's good news. That's positive stuff. And yet it completely got swept under the rug. So I don't know that there are anything that they're not being covered, because if you're not, it's not being covered by anyone, you may not hear about it. So I know those are not the only two important things going on. So when I do look for news, I try to look for positive things, because I know they're out there, but people like to, they like to harp and really linger on the negative. So I hope there's more good news out there. Hopefully we'll find it soon.
And on to government, how have municipal leaders and government officials in your community responded to the outbreak?
Oh, geez. Well, depending on who you ask, either they did a great job or they had their head in the sand. I'm kind of not necessarily head in the sand, but I think they waited a little bit longer than they should have before they really started taking it seriously. I think they did, or they set our lockdown a little too soon. Like it was a good idea to kind of like lock everything down and try and stop the spread, but I think it hadn't really progressed to the part, like they started it too soon, so they ended it too soon, because people were, that was just about as long as they were gonna last, and like, okay, lockdown's over, and then there went the spike right there. Like, and then trying to get people to go back inside, that would have been like herding cats, like, oh no, we're out now and we're not going back in. So I think maybe they jumped the gun a little bit on it, but you can't really prepare for something if you don't have any like frame of reference. The last time we had a super big plague outbreak like this one was what, back in 1918? That was over 100 years ago. So obviously there aren't very many people alive, if any, who were old enough to A, remember that, and B, be able to offer words of wisdom and advice. So, I mean, you can't really fault, they're doing the best they can with what they have. So if you've never experienced something like this in your life, obviously there's going to be a serious learning curve there. Now, knocking on wood, let's say this happens again in like 5-10 years, obviously they're going to be a lot more prepared because we just did it now. So I think, yeah, there could have been improvement in the way they handled it, but if you don't really have any better alternative for what they should have done, then you can't really complain about the response they had to it.
And do you have any thoughts on how local, state, or federal leaders are responding to the crisis differently?
Well, on a federal level, I mean, I don't hate Trump, but I do wish he had actually gone to a little more science classes. A little bit. Listen to your scientists. They went to school, they got the degrees, listen to them. So I kind of wish, you know, every scary movie starts with a scientist being ignored. They're doom and gloom and like, this is a bad idea, and then they do it anyway, and they're like, oh yeah, we should have listened to that guy. I don't know why that's a lesson we can't seem to learn. Sometimes scary movies do have a positive life lesson for you. So on all levels, I think, you know, you have all these experts, you recognize that they're experts, and then when they try to give you advice, I think maybe you don't have to necessarily agree with it right away, but at least, you know, take the time to consider that what they're saying might be true.
So moving on to the future, has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and community, and in what ways?
I think overall, everybody's going to kind of, they're not going to take them for as granted as much. like before, like, oh yeah, my friends are there, you know, they're a phone call away, or they're just a short 5-minute ride down the street. I can go and knock on their door and there they are. But now, like, yeah, they're there, but you can't really interact with them the same way. And the same with like your family members. Like, next time grandma invites you over for family dinner, you're going to make sure you go, because that might be the last time in a long while or ever that you do get to have family dinner at grandma. So I think, or at least for me anyway, you're going to cherish those moments once you get to have them again a little bit more than you did before, because that might be the last one you get to have. And I think having seen on the news all the people who did pass away from it, it kind of reminds you that every day is not guaranteed. So if you have the opportunity and you want to take it, then you definitely should.
And how does this pandemic compare to other big events that have happened in your lifetime?
Well, thankfully, this is the only pandemic I've ever had to live through. Hopefully the last. I'm a big knock on wood person. Not necessarily superstitious, but sometimes you just don't want to risk it, you know? So I guess it's kind of hard to compare a pandemic to anything else, because it's kind of a category unto itself. The only other big milestones was when I graduated from college with my undergrad degree, but that was a positive thing. That was something you look forward to, not something you dread waking up to every day. So hopefully this is a one and done kind of situation, but I will always have a little thing of sanitizer in my pocket from now on, because you never know.
And what can you imagine your life being like in a year?
Oh, I hope it's back to our regular normal. I was planning a big trip for the end of the year, and now I can't go. So I'm hoping that this time next year, everything, like, I don't like the term new normal, because everything is the new normal until, you know, it becomes the next new normal shows up. So I'm hoping things go back to being a little more carefree. I hope that this time next year, we're not all side-eyeing our neighbors. Like, when was the last time you washed your hands? It did concern me a little bit that people, you had to teach them how to wash their hands. I'm like, what were you doing before? So I'm hoping that this time next year, all the lessons that we're learning now, we've retained, and then I can, you know, go back to in-person visits and traveling. And I miss going to the movies. I hope this time next year I'm sitting in a movie theater with a big bucket of popcorn and a soda and a really awesome movie that I'm watching.
And the final question, knowing what you know now, what do you think that individual communities or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
Ooh, good one. I would say first and foremost, I would say we're all human. Not everybody is going to do everything perfectly all the time. As long as they're putting in the effort, you know, to keep their distance and wear their mask, just remember that, yes, you are an individual and that's important, but also so is the community. Like, if you can do something to help out someone else, you should. So I'm kind of hoping that this experience, I guess we can call it, it kind of reminds people, like, it's not just you versus everyone else. It's us together, not really against anybody, but just us together. And to stop thinking like, well, I don't have to wear a mask because I'm not sick. Well, you're also part of a community, and not everybody has the same ability to stay well that you do. So I'm hoping this time in the future, or for now on, they kind of remember that community is a thing that's important, and it's not just you versus everybody, but all of us together as a team.
And is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't covered?
COVID sucks. No, just kidding. No, I think we pretty much covered the gist of it.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to do this interview with me. And great.